This is the Black Christian News Network One podcast. Here are the top stories you need to know about today. According to Daily Mail, the prominent South Carolina doctor who was shot dead along with his wife and two grandchildren by former NFL player Philip Adams on Wednesday had been treating the gunman and had stopped giving him medication, a U.S. congressman who was friends with the victims alleged. Adams, 32, a cornerback who played six seasons in the NFL and suffered multiple concussions, killed himself with a single shot to the head early Thursday, hours after shooting six people, five of them fatally. Representative Ralph Norman, a Republican from South Carolina, told WIS-TV that it is his understanding that Dr. Robert Leslie was treating Adams and had stopped giving Adams medication. Norman, who described himself as a close friend of Leslie and his wife, said he was told by law enforcement that withholding medication from Adams led to the deadly attack. A person briefed on the investigation also told the Associated Press earlier that Adams had been treated by Leslie. However, authorities have yet to confirm that claim. Adams' father, Alonzo Adams, told WCNC that his son's being a football player was to blame for the tragedy. "I can say he's a good kid," the father told the station. "I think the football messed him up." Adams had only recently moved in with his parents in Rock Hill, just a 2 minutes drive from Dr. Leslie's home. The athlete had a criminal history, which included assault and weapons charges. York County Sheriff Kevin Tolson held a press conference on Thursday afternoon and confirmed that Adams used two firearms, a .45 caliber and a 9mm gun, to fatally shoot Leslie, 70, and his wife Barbara Leslie, 69, along with their grandchildren Ada Leslie, 9, and Noah Leslie, 5, and James Lewis, 38, a contractor from Gastonia, who was unrelated to the family. Tolson said investigators still have a lot of questions about the shooting and had not yet determined a motive. "There's nothing right now that makes sense to any of us," he told reporters. The sheriff opened the press conference by reading a statement from the Leslie family, which said in part, "While we know there are no answers that will satisfy the question why, we are sure of one thing. We do not grieve as those without hope. Our hope is found in the promise of Jesus Christ, and we are enveloped by peace that surpasses all understanding. To that end, our hearts are bent toward forgiveness and peace, toward love and connectedness, toward celebration and unity." According to the New York Daily News, Midwin Charles, a legal analyst for CNN and MSNBC, has died at age 47, her family confirmed on social media. "It is with a profoundly heavy heart and the deepest sadness that we announce the untimely passing of our beloved Midwin Charles," her family posted on her Instagram and Twitter accounts Tuesday evening. "She was known to many as a legal commentator on television, but to us she was a devoted daughter, sister, aunt, niece, and cousin," the family wrote. "Our lives are forever changed and we will miss her for a long time. The family thanks you in advance for your love and prayers. Please follow the family time to grieve. Or rather, please allow the family time to grieve." Her cause of death is unknown. Charles was a prominent defense lawyer and the founder of Midwin Charles & Associates, LLC, a boutique law firm offering full services in criminal defense, commercial and civil litigation, and general corporate law, according to her LinkedIn bio. She was also a contributor for Essence magazine and a commentator on a number of media outlets. Heartbroken friends and former colleagues took to social media to pay tribute to Charles. "Midwin, dear heart, you are a brilliant spirit and beautiful soul," MSNBC's Joy Reid tweeted on Wednesday night. You are such a blessing. I'm just stunned and have been since I learned of this today. Blessings to your mom and family. To all, please live every moment like it's your last and over-appreciate your friends. The View co-host Sonny Hostin, who worked with Charles on Court TV's In Session, wrote that Midwin was my friend. She was a brilliant, beautiful, legal mind. I will miss her and am praying for her family, and especially for her mother, whom she adored and spoke of so often. Rest, my dear friend. I have no words here. I'm having trouble comprehending this loss, wrote New York City public advocate Jermaine Williams. It's stunning, White House Deputy Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, a former political analyst for NBC News and MSNBC, wrote that this one hit really hard today. CNN senior legal analyst Laura Coates tweeted, I'm so incredibly sorry to hear this. I respected her so much. What a devastating loss of a beautiful soul. I am so sorry for your family's tremendous loss, she wrote, responding to the family's tweet. According to the Christian Post, Southern Baptist preacher Vody Baucom Jr. underwent a complicated quadruple bypass heart surgery Monday, typically reserved for patients with severe heart disease, and now has a long road of recovery ahead. He came through quad bypass surgery well late last night, had a good night, has been awake and responsive. Next 24 to 36 hours are crucial. Thank you for praying. He has a long road of recovery ahead. Praise God for his mercies on display. Thomas Askell, president of Founders Ministries, revealed in a statement on Twitter Tuesday. Baucom, who is Dean of Theology at African Christian University in Zambia and a board member of Founders Ministries, had been recovering from surgery to treat heart failure when his team told the Christian Post on Friday that he subsequently needed coronary bypass surgery, setting back his recovery. The celebrated theologian was getting ready to promote his new book released Tuesday titled Fault Lines, The Social Justice Movement and Evangelicalism's Looming Catastrophe, but that plan was also scuttled by his medical emergency. Jennifer Whitlock, a board-certified family nurse practitioner with experience in primary care and hospital medicine, explained on Verwell Health that when bypass heart surgery is required, it is usually for patients with severe heart disease. The quadruple bypass surgery is a complicated procedure, and the risk of surgery increases with each additional bypass graft. For example, the double bypass surgery is less risky than a triple, and a triple is less risky than a quadruple bypass, she wrote. With each additional bypass that is needed, the surgery is longer, requires more time under anesthesia, and is being done to treat more severe disease. During a vast majority of quadruple bypass surgeries, the heart is also stopped so that the surgeon is not working on a moving target. A heart-lung bypass machine generally supplies oxygen to the blood instead of the lungs and pumps it through the body as the heart would normally, according to Whitlock. Recovery from this type of procedure is generally about 6 to 12 weeks. According to ABC 3340 News, detectives are searching for the gunman responsible for killing a woman and injuring five others, including a five-year-old boy. The shots were fired at Birmingham's Patton Park Easter night. 32-year-old Ariel Yarbrough was shot and killed. Friends describe her as a sweet person. She was the daughter of Reverend Michael Yarbrough and Sonia at Shady Grove Missionary Baptist Church. Radio personality Ricky Smiley knew her growing up. Now this family is going to be affected by this forever, Smiley said. They'll never get their daughter back. I remember when her mother was pregnant with her, and she sung in the choir, 4.0 grade point average in school to get her master's degree in business, and she's dead. And when is it going to stop? According to the New York Post, or the New York Daily News, Friends are mourning a Brooklyn mom and her two beloved daughters killed by the mom's ex-con boyfriend in a birthday shooting spree. She was a hard-working mother of two, with a pair of incandescent young daughters eager to make the world a better place. Rashida Barzi, 45, executed alongside her beloved kids and ex-con boyfriend in a rage-fueled rampage, spent the last 7 years as an administrative manager with the City Health and Hospitals Corp, according to her LinkedIn page, and devastated co-workers. The devoted mom, along with her daughters, aged 20 and 16, was killed late Monday night when her gun-toting boyfriend entered their Brooklyn apartment and opened fire. She started working for City Hospitals in June 2014 when her boo was behind bars for Westchester County bank robbery committed 1 year earlier. "The news still doesn't feel real," heartbroken co-worker Isha Greaves wrote on Facebook, posting video clips of Barzi taking a moment at work to dance to reggae music. "I called your phone today to see if you would answer, but you didn't. I'm going to miss my friend. I love you." Barzi previously worked as a secretary at Brookdale University Hospital, where she assisted doctors in the facility's cardiology department. She died alongside elder daughter Soli Spears, a Baruch College student and high schooler, Chloe Spears, when Joseph McCrimmon opened fire on the night of his daughter's 9th birthday. The little girl, awakened by the gunfire, cowered in a closet during the 4 terrifying minutes of violence, police said. Soli, who worked as an intern at the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office in 2017, was a whip-smart political science major due to graduate next year. She served as the communications chairwoman for Baruch's Black Student Union. "She was literally the most gentle, sweet, and beautiful person anyone could meet," recalled friend Shakia Bob, 21. Longtime friends of Chloe offered fond remembrances of the teen from Brooklyn's Intermediate School 240, Magnet School of STEM, where the young fan of singer Beyoncé unfailingly appeared with a smile on her face. "One of the sweetest persons I've ever met," said classmate Ashley Carter, 15. "She was always helping others, and she was such a great friend. She was a kind soul. She had such a bright future ahead of her and didn't deserve to be taken so soon." According to NBC, St. Louis Treasurer Tishara Jones, who has been outspoken in her criticism of the criminal justice system's arrest and incarcerate model, won election Tuesday and will take over as the first Black female mayor in a city beset by yet another wave of violent crime. Jones defeated alderwoman Kara Spencer in the general election with 51.7% to Spencer's 47.8%, based on unofficial results posted on the city's website. She will be sworn in April 20th. "St. Louis, this is an opportunity for us to rise," Jones said in her victory speech. "I told you when I was running that we aren't done avoiding tough conversations. We're done ignoring the racism that has led our city and our region back." Spencer, in her concession, noted the historic achievement of her opponent. "This is something we should all celebrate," Spencer said. "Our city broke a glass ceiling tonight, a ceiling that shouldn't have been there." Jones, 49, is a former state representative who has been treasurer since 2013. She will replace incumbent Mayor Lida Crewson, who announced in November that she would not seek a second term. Crewson, 67, is the city's first woman mayor. In her new job, Jones faces many challenges. The population that peaked at 856,796 in 1950 is now just about 300,000, and people are still leaving for the suburbs. Businesses, including downtown restaurants and shops, are still struggling to recover from COVID-19 shutdowns. According to ESPN, Tiger Woods' February crash was caused by excessive speed, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office said Wednesday. Woods' SUV was traveling from 84 to 87 miles per hour on a downhill stretch of road outside Los Angeles that had a speed limit of 45 miles per hour. The SUV was going 75 miles per hour when it hit a tree, Sheriff Alex Villanueva said. No traffic citation was issued. Authorities said there was no evidence of impairment or of distracted driving, so they didn't have probable cause to get those warrants. Investigators, however, did search the SUV's data recorder, known as a black box. Villanueva blamed the February 23rd crash solely on excessive speed and Woods' loss of control behind the wheel. Sheriff's Captain James Powers, who oversees the sheriff's station closest to the crash site, said there was no evidence that the golfer braked throughout the wreck, and that it's believed Woods inadvertently hit the accelerator instead of the brake pedal. You can read these stories and more at blackchristiannews.com. In closing, remember, God loves you. He always has and He always will. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's a good day to get to know Him. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead for you. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart, and He will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless your day.